So Genesis 15. And we're going to kind of skim through Genesis 15, 16, 17, kind of touch on a few things regarding Abram and prayer. Let's read Genesis 15, beginning at verse 1 down to verse 6, and then we'll proceed from there. So Genesis 15, verse 1, says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now we look at this once again. We want to understand kind of from the perspective of prayer. Abram was the friend of God, he was referred to, and we want to see his prayer life and understand things. We see, first of all, that God communicates with Abram. In this time that he communicated through a vision, we understand that each day that the Lord wants to communicate with us, he doesn't need to use a vision. We have a more sure word of prophecy now, and that is the Holy Scriptures. And so we look at that as we read the Scriptures, that the Lord wants to speak to us. He wants to make things clear to us. And we see that the Lord is encouraging him, comforting him, saying, "Fear not, I am thy shield." He's going to protect him in thy exceeding great reward. That if he, and that is kind of the thought that sometimes we sort of think, well, we follow the Lord so that we could have blessings, so that we could be rewarded. We want to understand it in the sense that if we seek God, he is our reward. That all that we want is in him. And that we don't seek him for any other thing, we seek him just for himself. And he's showing that to Abram, that follow after me, and you will be blessed, that I will reward you just by my presence, just by knowing me. And we know that God has given him promises, and it's just the same with us in the Scriptures, that God gives us different promises. But we see with Abraham that he was concerned about the practical realization of it. And that it's like, okay, you've made me this promise, how is it going to come about? It wasn't that he was doubting necessarily, it was just he didn't understand. He didn't see it, that it was possible, because he was still without a child, and yet he was supposed to have a seed that was through which all the families of the earth were going to be blessed. And it's something that we recognize, that there's promises in the Scriptures, promises of victory, that we are more than conquerors through him that love us. We think there's promises of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That there's these different promises that we see in the Scriptures. And we see, well, how can I get a hold of those? How can I have a practical realization of it? And that's something that we should do. As we see the Scriptures, we know God's Word is true. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And so we want to understand what they are and then bring them to pass in our lives, that we would see them come about. And that's what Abram desired. And so we see that God gives him an explanation. He shows him, no, Abram had thought, and this was the practice of the time, that if you didn't have a child, that basically the son of his servant would end up being his heir. He'd basically adopt him. And God said, no, that's not what's going to happen. It's going to be someone that comes forth out of your own bowels. It'll be your heir. And so we see that he brought him forth abroad, and he said, well, look at the stars. See if you can count them. And it's interesting. I was just reading some the other day that they have this thing you sent away for, because there's a whole bunch of different stars that they've numbered and named, but there's countless other stars that they don't have names for yet. And you can actually send away and have a star named after you if you want.
Well, they're still finding new stars too.
Well, that's the thing. The different telescopes they get can look further into space, and they see galaxies and things that they didn't even know existed before. And so he says, well, can you tell the stars? And you can imagine that he would not have been able to. We certainly can't. He says, so shall thy seed be. And we see verse 6, and it's such an important verse, repeated many times in the New Testament, speaking of Abraham. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And we see that Abraham had faith, that we know that without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we understand that when we pray, that we pray in faith. We ask in faith, nothing doubting. Because if anyone that doubts is like someone that's like a wave tossed in the sea, driven in the wind and tossed, it speaks of in James. And so he was a man of faith. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of him by faith, Abraham. This is verse 8 of Hebrews 11. When he was called to go out into a place which he should have received for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we see that he trusted God. He didn't understand everything, but he obeyed what the Lord told him to do. He went out not knowing where he went. And we see that he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. That it wasn't that he lived a perfect life, that he never made any mistakes, that he was a very holy man, he was a very good man. But we saw in the last chapter that we looked at, of how he connived this thing to try to protect himself. We will see the next chapter he made a big mistake that his seed is still suffering from. But we see that he believed in the Lord, he counted for righteousness. It wasn't his works that gave him righteousness, it was his faith that the Lord counted to him for righteousness. That he looked ahead, trusting in the promises to come, not understanding them, but just trusting that the Lord was going to work it all out. And so he asks the question, he's trying to explain, he says, well, how do I know that I shall inherit all this land? And so what happens is the Lord gives him this visual proof, this clear sign of that he would inherit the land. And the practice of those times was, if two parties were to make an agreement, they were to make a covenant, they called it to cut a covenant. And what would happen is they'd take these different animals, goat or heifer or ram, and they'd divide them in pieces, and then together they would pass through. And it was a sign that if they broke the covenant, if they broke their word, that they would be mutilated just the same as these animals were. It was kind of the same thought, that it was on pain of death that they would keep this. And we find how it happened here, that The Lord set this up. The Lord told him kind of what the future would hold, of them going into bondage and then coming out with great substance, and that they'd return to the land. But we see that a deep sleep had passed upon Abram, and there was a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. That the Lord made this covenant, and it was unconditional, that it wasn't something that Abram had to do something in order to keep it, or that if Abram didn't do something that it would disannul the covenant, that only God himself walked through the pieces. And it was based on God, and we know that God does not change, God keeps his word, and so the covenant was unconditional. And so he receives this assurance as he seeks it, and that's something that as we talk to the Lord, we have questions, it's something that we seek him and we wait for the answer. Kind of like we studied with Habakkuk, of how he had these questions and he went to God and he said, well, I will wait upon the Lord until he answers me and reproves me. And that's, we see with Abram, that he had that relationship with the Lord. Then we see Genesis chapter 16. He gets himself and his descendants in a fair bit of trouble. We kind of saw that with last week, how we looked that things were going well, that he was calling upon the name of the Lord, but then circumstances happened, and we see that there's kind of a lack of communication between him and God, and because you don't really see anything in this chapter at all about Abraham talking with the Lord. And so what happened is his wife suggests, well, I'm barren. How about you have a child by my maid? And we understand that that was part of the culture of the time. And it was certainly some that made a lot of sense. As a man, he said, well, my wife said I could, and so there's a lot of excuses to do it. But we realize that it wasn't God's plan. We find that in Genesis chapter 17. They said, well, Ishmael's not the one that your seed's going to be through. It's going to be through Sarah, and you're going to have a son. And we understand that he made this decision, and Ishmael was born, and now the seed of Isaac and the seed of Ishmael are fighting the one with another. And it's sad, but we realize that if we get away from God, if we don't stay connected with him, if we tend to start to lean on our own understanding, he kind of looked at this and he's like, oh, this is the Lord said, well, it's going to be someone out of my own bowels. This seems to be an easy solution. I can kind of solve the problem. I can kind of help God make this happen. And it's the thing that God doesn't need our help in that way, that we want to seek his will, seek to know, oh Lord, what would you have me to do? That it's his work, and we're just a part of it according to his guidance, that it's not something that we go off on our own thinking, or we think that we've outsmarted God, that we can find a quick way to do something, that we need to follow him, have that dependence upon him, that we don't trust, we don't lean upon our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge him so that he will direct our paths. And so we see what happens. And we understand that when there's separation between us and God, that's when problems come. That when we're not in communication with him, we can get distracted, we can get deceived, we can get into wrong thinking, and we have to have that relationship. We need it very much, and we see that with Abraham, that what these times where we see that prayer isn't evident in his life, that's so often when his mistakes happen, when troubles come. And so we need to learn from that. How it says, pray without ceasing. There's a reason for that. It's for our own safety in many ways. So then we see Genesis 17. Just going to read the first three verses to kind of set it off. It says, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying. And we see again that God communicates with Abram. He wants to speak with him. He's declaring himself. And that's sometimes what we need to do, is we need to dwell upon that. And so often in prayer we focus upon our own situation, different things that we're struggling with. But we need to have that focus upon Him, that we realize that He is the Almighty God. Because He is, that should affect our walk, that we should live differently because of that, that we should honor Him by our lives. And we see the promise that's given. He would make his covenant between them. He would multiply thee exceedingly. And we see verse 3, and it's something that it kind of jumps out the verse by itself, where it says, and Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. That Abraham showed a humility, that he showed a meekness, he showed an awe and a worship of God, that he wasn't, even though we know he was called the friend of God, but yet he showed a reverence, a fear of him, just where he felt he was in his presence and he needed to humble himself before him. And we see how it says, and Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. That if we're proud, if our heart is lifted up in pride, that pride, we understand a proud heart is an abomination to God. That he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we're in need of his grace. We're in need of his help, his mercy, his empowerment for our daily lives. And so we can come before him and sort of have this idea, kind of our grocery list. Well, Lord, this is what I want, and if you don't give these to me as quickly as possible, I'm going to sulk and not pray with you for a while. That whole attitude needs to be taken away from our lives, that we have a humility before the Lord. We fall on our faces before Him. We cry out unto Him. We don't, kind of as Daniel spoke of, he said, we don't bring these petitions before you because of our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercy's sake. And so we see that he fell on his face and God talked with him. And that's something that we understand, that the Lord is near to a broken in a contrite heart, one that is trembles at his word, someone that has that relationship with him, that he sees God who he is, and he sees himself the way he is as well. We think of Isaiah when he saw God in heaven, and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. We need to have that attitude of humility and worship. And so we see that the Lord speaks to him. He tells him of the covenant that he's going to have, and a sign of the covenant, a sign of separation, that they are going to be a special people. We see the Lord gives him a different name. His name is not Abram, but name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations. And Sarah as well is given a different name. Sarai means... This is Genesis 17. Like verse 5, it says, thou shalt no more be called Abram. Thy name shall be Abraham. Yeah. And we see that... Yeah, Abraham. Like Abram is father, but Abraham is father of nations. And...
Christ was
that name? Yeah, as well. That's Well, and that's what we understand, that Abraham has a physical seed in a sense, but he also has a spiritual seed as well, that we are all children of Father Abraham through faith. Each of us that believes on God is counted unto us for righteousness. But we see that Lord gives him this sign of circumcision, that it's a sign of the covenant between them, that everyone within, every male within their family shall do this. And we see that Lord speaks that he was going to give a son through Sarah, and Abram laughed. He said, "Is that, well, that's not possible. She's 90 years old. She's beyond the point that she can have children." And he thought, well, Ishmael, he'll be the one that'll be the seed. This is the one, we've solved the problem. We have the solution. But the Lord says, no, Ishmael is not the one. I'm going to bless him, but my covenant will be with Isaac, this one that Sarah shall bear unto you. And so we see that, and we see in the next chapter of how Sarah didn't believe it either, and that they laughed when it was told them. And that's why they called his name Isaac. Isaac means laughter. That it shows them that what they thought was impossible was possible with God. And so we see that, and God left off talking with him. God went up from Abraham. But then we see in the remainder of the chapter, what do we see? We see obedience on the part of Abraham. That the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. This is a sign of this covenant between you and me and your seed for all generations. And so it was done, and we see that he did it. He didn't delay it. He didn't procrastinate, put it off for a month or two. He did it the self same day as God had said unto him. And you can imagine to all the people in his house, Ishmael included, that it's like Abraham come and say, well, I've talked with God and this is what we're going to do, and how it would not have probably been a welcome thing for, but yet he was the leader of the family, leader of the servants, and so they did what he said. And of course we understand that he had it done to himself as well, a sign of this covenant. And it's something that we understand, that for us to have a relationship with God, that and if it's to continue, if it's to grow strong, become vibrant, it hinges upon our obedience. That if he directs us, if he tells us to do something, we need to do it. Even if it's painful, even if we don't understand, that it is something that we are to follow that. And so that's what we look at, that as we think of prayer, that God wants to talk to us through his word, and we maybe don't understand, we see his promises, we don't understand exactly how they going to apply to us. We want to see them realized in our lives practically, and so he shows us how he's going to do that. It may not be right away, but it will be in his time. And so we need to have faith that even though we may not grab hold of it right away, that in his time that he will answer the prayer. He will fulfill his word. We realize that we must stay in communication with the Lord. If we get out of communication with him, we can get in a lot of trouble. We can do what we think is right, think that we're kind of doing God a favor, and we can actually find out that we've made a real mess of things. And so we need to have that constant communication with God. And then when we come before him, we need to have a humility in our life, a humility in our attitude, in our hearts. And then as he directs us, we need to obey. And as we do that, And we'll see as we continue that Abram, that God referred to him as his friend. And we see that the relationship that was built, that if Abram would have said, no, I'm not doing this, this is above and beyond what I think should be necessary, or he delayed it, we would see that their relationship would weaken. But because he did it right away, that the Lord blessed them. And so we understand that as God directs us through his word, that we need to be obedient unto him in whatever it might be. Even though we don't understand, even though it might be painful, we need to obey him. All right, so that's the devotional for this evening.